The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Afternoon. Welcome to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway here at WWDB. You are listening live right here on the radio at 860 AM, on the podcast at WWDB AM, or you can listen later to the podcast, especially to today's show. We're also on Odyssey, and you can Instagram or Facebook me with any messages that you may have. We have a great show today. I have author Denise Olson joining us in just a couple minutes, and we are going to be sharing her personal journey from catastrophic grief and the trauma to a life filled with unimaginable abundance after she lost her beloved husband, who was a New York City firefighter in the attack on the World Trade Center. 9/11 right around the corner. And she has written an unbelievable book, which I'm almost done reading. And she is here to help people discover that there is no, that in life, there's no other side to dealing with traumatic grief. We all will be faced with it at some time in our life, especially when we lose a child or a spouse or somebody who means the world to us. And Denise is going to be here to ultimately help us with the tools to help you listeners heal from whatever wounds you are carrying. And in today's toxic political environment, there's going to be a lot of wounds that people are going to have to heal after the election in November. So this is a listen to for everybody. We're going to learn how trauma, grief, and loss affects our mind, our body, and our soul, and that we do have the power within us to heal. I am super excited to bring her online. She has become a grief mentor, a national public speaker, a yoga instructor, and now she's a published author. And she's always loved writing and believes in the power of storytelling. And that's why she wrote this unbelievable, helpful, wonderful book. Because when you are hit with grief, it seems hopeless. There's nothing you can do or say to make it any better. There is not to somebody. You're stuck. And that's something that I want to ask her about. So bringing her on board now is Denise Olson. The name of her book is Strong and Soulful, Graced by Grief. I am delighted to have her on board.
Good afternoon, Denise. How are you?
Hi, Carol. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us on today's show. I am happy to talk to you. And, you know, I just realized, I told my listeners about your book and a little bit of history about you before you came on the air with us. But, you know, I said something that I don't think I'm supposed to say to people all the time. And the words were, how are you? Is that okay to say? I mean, I know it's been a little while since the loss of your husband and all the grief and trauma that you've been going through, but is it okay to say that?
I think it's important to ask people how they are. Sometimes I like to say, you know, how does your heart feel? Because right when you say to people, how are you? You always get the, oh, I'm good. But what's on your heart is really, it kind of gives people pause, and then they'll tell you what they're really feeling.
Yes, thank you, because not everybody knows, and I wanted to share that because my sister's going through grief as well. She recently lost her husband. She's young like you, and it was sudden, and oh, well, thank you. And I almost feel like this is a dedication to her, this show, as well as you and your story. And so I'm so happy to have you here to share your personal journey and the grief and the trauma that you've dealt with. And can you help our listeners understand, well, first of all, why did it take you 20 years to write this book?
The book has been in process for 20 years. But what really lit a fire as far as following through and getting a publisher and really putting it out there was COVID, because being in lockdown and watching first responders and the medical community just show up in such an extraordinary way was reminiscent of 9/11 for me. The level of loss and grief and fear and all of it brought me back to the emotions that I felt at that time. And I thought that maybe it would help others if I could put into words everything that I've learned over the past 20 years.
Well, I find your book and it a tremendous tool for people.
Thank you. That was my goal. So I'm really happy about that.
So one thing that grabbed me right away was the definition that you have in chapter two about grief, because it's, as you said, it seems to have become somewhat of a catchphrase lately, but what exactly is it and why is everybody talking about it? And I just wanted to read part of it briefly for our listeners so that they understand what the American Psychological Association says, if you don't mind. Or do you have your book right there? Would you like to read it?
I do have my book if you would like me to read it.
I would love you to read the very first part of chapter two when you're explaining what grief is. If you could just read that first paragraph to share with our listeners how grief is perceived.
Sure. I'll read the APA definition. The American Psychological Association states that grief is the anguish experienced after significant loss, usually the death of a beloved person. Grief often includes physiological distress, separation anxiety, confusion, yearning, obsessive dwelling on the past, and apprehension about the future. Intense grief can become life-threatening through disruption of the immune system, self-neglect, and suicidal thoughts. Grief may also take the form of regret for something lost, remorse for something done, or sorrow for a mishap to oneself.
So that is the APA's statement for grief, but you have found that it's quite different in many ways. Could you explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Yeah, I actually continue after that to quote another definition that I think describes grief in a more holistic and hope-filled way. And I wrote that grief is the intense emotional response to the pain of a loss. It is the reflection of a connection that has been broken. Most important, grief is an emotional, spiritual, and psychological journey to healing. There is wonder in the power of grief. We don't appreciate its healing powers, yet they are extraordinary and wondrous. It's just as amazing as the physical healing that occurs after a car accident or major surgery. Grief transforms the broken, wounded soul, a soul that no longer wants to get up in the morning, a soul that can find no reason for living, a soul that has suffered an unbelievable loss. Grief alone has the power to heal.
Whew, and that's strong.
Yeah, and that has been more my experience. The other definition is certainly true. I just think that it leaves out the importance of how grief sort of has its way with us.
And that's why I wanted you to read that, because I think people need to understand there's the standard definition, but it's so much more in the way that you have listed it. You also talk about its power to heal. Could you share that with our listeners too? Why is grief a power to heal?
I think that grief strips us down to our essence. You, especially if it is a traumatic loss, something unexpected where you lose your sense of control, you feel completely powerless, you are in this state where everything that you believe to be true is being held up for questioning. And when that happens, it's sort of like knocking a house down and then sifting through the rubble and being able to choose what serves you best and using that to rebuild a stronger, more purposeful life.
It's hard for us when we're stripped down so blatantly like that, and in a sudden moment, don't we kind of go through a bit of embarrassment too, of dealing with the situation? Or am I wrong to say that?
I think there's some self-consciousness around it, especially if you're like me and you are not you're not comfortable crying, you're not comfortable with vulnerability and sharing emotions. I certainly feel that comes into play, and that's the case for many people, right? Okay. We don't want to show weakness. So, that was one of the lessons that I learned on this journey, was that vulnerability actually creates and requires courage.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I thought my dogs were going to be the ones barking, so I'm glad it's not mine.
That's why I like to let our listeners know that sometimes I do these from home and not necessarily in the studio. And I'm glad we can laugh a little bit while we're talking about such a serious topic. I did let our listeners know a bit about your husband, but could you tell us some of the things that, and this is a hard question, and see, I, being on the other side of this, there, I'm feeling like I think a lot of people do, asking you questions like, how do you feel when it comes to the thoughts of your husband? He was such an integral part of your life. He was so much of the love and taught you self-love. How do you deal with it? September 11th is around the corner. Is it okay to ask those questions like, how do you feel about your husband? Are you thinking about, of course you're thinking about him. You're thinking about him 24/7, but I think people and listeners aren't sure whether it's okay to ask those questions years later.
I think for me, I love being asked about my husband, and I think that's the case for the majority of people. Earlier on in the grieving process, years and years ago, every time I would speak of him, I would be brought to tears. And as time goes on, I think that the memory elicits more joy than sadness. So I love being asked, and it's an opportunity to keep his name alive, to keep his story alive, to keep who he was as a person still an active part of my life and my children's lives.
Okay. Now, and thank you for that, because, you know, people are afraid to ask, you know, months later, years later, like, hey, how are you getting on? So I think you're giving us permission and people that don't know what to do. So thank you. You have an acronym that I found very compelling. Can you tell us what the GRACE acronym stands for?
Sure. The GRACE acronym actually was the full circle moment that allowed me to feel like, okay, I can really put this book out here, because it's not just about me. Now I'm offering people some actionable tools, and I can be of service. So GRACE itself, the word GRACE, alludes to the idea that having a belief in something bigger than yourself, no matter what that is, helps in the healing process. Everything in the GRACE model has a scientific basis behind it, even though they sound a little woo-hoo or out there. There is evidence behind it that I share in the book. So I did a lot of research around all of these things, and one of the most important components of healing in a healthy manner is to have a belief in something bigger than yourself. So that's the GRACE part. G is gratitude. And gratitude is more about choosing where you focus your attention. So when we're in the throes of grief, obviously we are feeling really destroyed. And the overwhelming thoughts are of what's missing. But if we can take time out of the day to shift our perception to what is still possible and the good things that are still in our lives, because it's all happening simultaneously, right? There's loss and then there's people showing up to help you. And so gratitude helps to motivate you, to inspire you to take next steps and to keep you really in the present moment. R is radical acknowledgement and acceptance. This is the most difficult step, and it doesn't happen in one fell swoop. Our brains don't always want to acknowledge exactly what's going on in our lives. We are beings that love denial, and that does serve a purpose. But at some point, we have to accept the truth and acknowledge that this is exactly where our life is. And until we do that, we aren't able to move forward. So radical acknowledgement and acceptance are a must, even though they're very painful. A is action. Action has two parts. The first part is physical movement. And I stress the physical movement part because trauma and grief are stuck in our bodies. In order to help release that energy, we need to move. So it can be breath work, it can be yoga, it could be taking a walk, whatever feels good for you. The second part of action is taking intentional steps towards rebuilding your life. So setting intentions to yourself, where do you want to be? How do you want to show up? What is the next thing that will make you feel good on some level, and then following through with that. So I like to use the example of showering, because anyone who has suffered a devastating loss knows that getting in the shower every day seems like an overwhelming task. And so that might be your first action step, just getting in the shower every day. C is community, and community is the most important part of healing. None of us heal on our own. So that community can be your family, your church, your coworkers, a support group, anything that you can think of. But it's a place that you feel safe, you feel seen, you feel heard and understood. And finally, emergent narrative, my favorite. I call it emergent because it is always evolving as we evolve in our own development as a person. But this is the place where we get to write the ending to our story. We get to determine how this event will play out in our future. And it is also the place where we have the opportunity to memorialize and honor the person that was lost. And we can do that just by living our lives in a way that honors who they were.
It's a great acronym, and definitely one that people should be aware of. And it's in your book, and you break it down even more than what you've done here on our show. You have, it's going back to chapter 14 now, radical acknowledgement and acceptance. It's been almost 20 years since you've lost your husband. How do you go to the acceptance part?
The acceptance part, I go into this in the book, really came about in small incremental moments. And these were moments where I profoundly felt the loss of my husband and having to say, okay, he's not coming back. So how can I handle this particular situation in a different way where it's manageable for me? I spent a while living my life in a way, just trying to continue living the same way I lived prior to losing my husband. And that did not work because, number one, I couldn't manage my life in the same way because there was only one of me. And number two, because I wasn't the same person. So I think in particular moments, the loss is front and center. And that's where you have the opportunity to say, okay, this is my life, and how am I going to create a new normal around this one particular experience?
I'm sitting here just listening to everything you're saying, and I feel like this is such a great show for people to be listening to and going to the podcast and listening to it even when we're done. You say that grief has energy. There's energy behind grief. What do you mean by that?
Oh, this is such a great topic that I could speak on for hours. I like to bring things back to science, and that's the beauty of being like a nurse and then having my other foot in this yoga world of spirituality. But everything in our universe, we learn this in basic chemistry class, right, has a vibration from solids to gases, right? Everything is vibrating. And there's been a scale that measures emotions based on their vibration. Higher emotions, higher vibrating emotions, are the emotions that make us feel very light. And those are joy, happiness, anything that makes us feel really good, right? And we feel that in our body. When we are at a high point, we feel really light, we're excited, we're moving around, we have a lot of energy. Grief, on the other hand, along with feelings like shame, guilt, anger, they're lower vibrating energies, and you feel the heaviness of it. You feel stuck. It's hard to move. You're almost like dragging a ball and chain around with you. And the thing about the vibration and energy of emotions is that they reverberate out from us to the people that are around us. So when we're feeling really loving and kind, we send that out to everybody that's within. There's actually a measurable radius. I don't know it offhand, but we send that out to the people that are around us. And this is where that feeling of collective energy comes into play, right? So when 9/11 happened, our whole nation was thrown into a state of grief and trauma, and that became our collective energy. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are in a similar state right now, post-COVID, all the mass violence events, the level of suicides, the mental health issues, our political climate, right? I feel like our country is in that same kind of collective energetic state. And that is why I think the book could be helpful to just about anyone who reads it.
That was the next question I was going to ask you. Could you tell us more about who would benefit? Because when you said that about where we are today politically, and you write in your book, the loss of the energy of loss brings you to your knees, and that you felt as broken as you could ever be, buried alive by pain. I feel like that's where our country is right now. So who else would benefit?
I honestly, I keep saying this, and it almost sounds not realistic or maybe cocky. I don't know. But I think that almost anyone can read the book and find something relatable and applicable to where they're at. I think that most of us are experiencing a subtle level of grief and trauma right now, and we're not calling it that. We're calling it anxiety. We're calling it depression. And these are all symptoms, right, of grief and trauma. And if we were able to shift our thinking from these pathologies to the idea that this is a natural response to what we are experiencing daily right now, then I think people would be able to create a larger space for healing, if that makes any sense. Mm.
It does. It does make sense. You talk about, I love your book, and I still have a little bit more to read, but it's getting passed on to my sister as soon as I am done, because she needs this. And I think a lot of people need it. And I even find myself saying, dealing with situations and, you know, a mom who is seriously ill and my sister and her loss and, you know, just our life. I find myself saying, as I think a lot of people do, I think I need to go back to therapy. Did therapy help you
Yes, therapy was my first line of defense, I will say. I didn't know what I was up against. I just knew that I had no idea where to start. So I was so blessed. I found the most incredible therapist. She was way ahead of her time. And we, not only did we talk, but she was the one who introduced me to different healing modalities like yoga, acupuncture, journaling, taking just what self-care was as opposed to being selfish, you know? And so, yes, I believe that therapy is necessary. I also believe that talk therapy alone has its limitations. And that goes back to what I was saying in the action portion of grief and trauma being stuck in our bodies. And you can't actually talk it all out, especially in trauma, because there's a specific part of your brain that shuts down when you're traumatized, and it doesn't allow you to verbalize. You're in a really primal state where words and language are not easily accessible. So, wow. Yes, therapy certainly has an important place, but I don't think that it is completely, I don't think it's complete in its healing powers.
Now, some people think I'm a little nuts when I touch on topics like this, but do you feel Jeff's presence with you 20 mm-hmm. years later? Do you feel that he's watching over you and family members? And can you explain that also?
Oh, my gosh. So you didn't get to the end of the book. There's a chapter called Signs, and I touch on it, and I didn't spend a lot of time on it specifically because of what you're saying. People think that you're crazy, but I am beyond a doubt sure that there are specific signs that are sent to me, my children, different family members that come directly from Jeff. And I can give you an example that just happened this morning. I am spending my morning doing radio interviews. And when I signed onto my computer on my social media, a complete stranger posted a picture of Jeff and wrote a story that I had never heard of from 9/11. And
oh my God, you just gave me goosebumps. I literally am having goosebumps. Continue, please.
So I just said to myself, okay, I see you. You're here. You see what I'm doing, right? You're with me. But this has happened to me so many times that there is no way that I could chalk it all up to coincidence. And not to mention, I don't believe in coincidences, but even if I wasn't a believer in these things, it's undeniable. At some point, it becomes undeniable.
Right. See, I'm with you. I don't believe in coincidences. I am literally still having goosebumps as I'm talking to you. Somebody told me long ago, coincidences are God's way of staying anonymous. And that quote has always stuck with me. And you're right. I didn't finish the book, but I did skim to the back because I knew I was interviewing you. And you said that you heard, I don't know who the person was, a voice in your ear that said, you aren't broken. You're being broken open. That's very profound. Did I lose you? Hello?
Uh-oh. Denise? All right. Tyler, let's set up a commercial. Let's take a quick commercial break. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We're speaking with Denise Olson, who lost her husband, a firefighter, in 9/11 almost 20 years ago. We're talking about her book, Strong and Soulful, Graced by Grief. Let's take a quick commercial break, see if we can get her back on the line. We will be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, Denise. Yes, I am here. I don't know if you heard that part where you said you didn't believe in coincidences, and I said I didn't either.
And then the call dropped.
Yeah, and which is really weird. And which I thought was really weird. So I'm so glad we got you back. But I took that minute while we were coming back to be able to tell our listeners and take a quick commercial break that, you know, that we were talking to you, Denise Olsen Strong and Soulful Grace by Grief. And when you said that about no coincidences, I long ago, somebody had posted that they didn't believe in coincidence either. And they said, coincidences are God's way of staying anonymous. And that's how I think of coincidences.
I love that.
So, yeah.
I love that.
And I just think it's, you know, and it's crazy because you were talking to me and I was literally having goosebumps the whole time that we were talking about Jeff. You mentioned your children. How old are your children now?
My children now are, oh God, if I get this wrong, they'll be so mad. 31, 26, and 24. At the time, they were 8. 3 and 18 months old.
How did you do it? That's why people need to read your book to know how
well,
you did it.
I don't know how I did it. My son now had, my oldest son has two boys. They're 4 years old and they'll be 4 and 2 in November. And so I spend a lot of time with them. And gosh, those little buggers, they wear me out. I love them to death, but they're exhausting. And I said to my son after he had Leo, my oldest grandson, and I watched him a few times, I was like, Vin, how the heck did I do this by myself with three of you? I have no idea.
Oh, the strength of God helped you through all that for sure. And
you.
This is, yeah. Yes, youth, absolutely. Because I think back now with all my grandchildren, how did I do it? Quick question for you. We've told our listeners it's been 20 years, but could you tell us more? Are there questions that people would ask you or things that people would say that you just did not want to hear?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is people would say to me, "You're so strong." And I would want to scream because I didn't feel strong at all. I felt as if I had no choice at that point. I know better now, but in the moment, I felt like I have no choice. I have three children. I have to get up and continue to just get through the day, right? Just continue to live life. And there was no joy in it in the beginning, you know, it was everything was always covered or consumed by this overwhelming feeling of loss. So holidays, birthdays, all of that, I just went through the motions. I know now in hindsight that I did have a choice. I guess I could have chosen to maybe have some unhealthy sort of coping skills. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing. The "you're so strong" really would get to me.
And yet there are certain... And yet the title of your book is Strong and Soulful.
Isn't that funny? I know.
Yes.
Because like I said, in hindsight, I realized that it really did take a level of strength, perseverance, resilience. And so I like to honor that in myself, even though at the time when people would say it to me, I was not feeling strong at all. I felt I was just being dragged around by life. That, and then there are, I just actually wrote a little blog about this, about things that people say when you're grieving that are so hurtful, and they don't mean it to be, they're well intentioned, but it's sort of like, oh, time heals all wounds, everything happens for a reason. Like all of those things, they don't always feel good. You know, even the word hero. Hero was enough to make me go bananas because as much as I I honored and respected everything that my husband did. It was, you know, it just felt, there were times where I didn't want him to be a hero. I would say to myself, why didn't you just drop your stuff and run the other way, you know, and come home to us? But yeah, so that was like an unexpected, and now I consider he is a hero. He's my hero. He's, you know, set an example for many people. But you can understand the other side of that for me, right? Yes. Like the sacrifice for unknown people. You sacrifice your life, you know, your whole family for strangers, basically, you know?
Right. But that's what goodness is. And that's where our country needs to get back to be able to do that. Your husband was a hero and is a hero. And you are too, because you have written a book that, like you said, anybody can read. And it's very timely right now, before an election, even though we'll probably air this segment sometime again in the future. You provided tools to help the readers heal from any of the wounds that they're carrying. And that in itself is a gift. So thank you for that.
Thank you for getting to the heart of my mission and what I feel really has become my soul's purpose, or maybe it always was, and 9/11 just brought it to the surface for me.
Isn't it crazy how things happen in our life? Like you said, there's no coincidences. I feel that, that things are guided. They're guided by the way that they're supposed to be. And a book like this is very healing. And like you said, anybody can benefit, especially now. I can't wait to get to the end and share this book,
not
like here that I'm sharing with all of our listeners. I can't wait to share it with my sister and other people that I know. Where can all of our listeners go for more information?
Well, you can purchase the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere that books are sold. And for more information on myself, the work that I do, and some more background on the book, you can go to my website, and that is Denise-Olsen.com.
And will we find your blogs there as well?
The blogs are not up yet. I'm actually in the process. My website is up, but we're revamping and doing everything over now that the book is out. So the blogs will be on the new website, which should be launching, I'm guessing, like within the next week or so.
So we have to tell our listeners to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's right. Stay tuned for what's next.
Stay tuned for what's next. And when you have everything up and running and you are blogging, could you get back to us here at Tell Me More so I can share that information with our listeners? Because I am sure that once they read this book and after hearing you talk here on the show, I really feel that people are going to be drawn to your website for peace. For calm.
I love that. I love that. You just inspired me, because I've been playing around with the idea of starting a Substack, you know, like you where writers go and you can put little blogs and whatnot. So I think I'm going to continue to do that, because I really do love the writing process, and I just like being able to be of service to people. So
And that I is what your, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps talking to you again. That is what your husband did. He was service to other people. And
yes,
now you are doing that.
And I do have to tell you that the ending of the book, not the ending of the book itself, but the ending of the process of writing the book, when I was finished and it was sent off to the publisher, I had this feeling of not only having accomplished something for myself, but I felt like I finished something that he needed for me to do. It was the strangest feeling. I never had that thought while I was writing it. I mean, of course, it was written in honor of him, but it didn't seem as if it was something that he found necessary. I don't know how to explain it, but when it was done, it almost felt like I felt a relief from him.
I get that. I totally get that. And I really do believe that you're being guided to do more in the service of others by sharing your book. That's why you wrote it. And by having your website and doing a blog where people can share with you the grief and just whatever it is, like your book says, from whatever wounds we are carrying, your website's going to be phenomenal.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for the new one. It's so good.
I'm excited. Please keep us posted. I just want to tell our listeners, yes, please go to Amazon and check out Denise Olsen's book, Strong and Soulful, Graced by Grief. I have been so happy to have you here. It has been my joy and my pleasure to be able to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carol. I appreciate you.
All right. I will be talking to you again. I know that. Thank you, Denise. You have a great day. And I will be thinking about you, not just as I finish the book and as I have been, but you will be particularly strong in my mind in September.
Thank you. And my best wishes to your sister.
Thank you. That's so kind. She will be listening.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
And with that, let me remind everybody that Denise Olsen's husband, Jeff, was a firefighter in New York. His firehouse was in the shadows of the Twin Towers, and he was killed during 9/11. Her book, Denise Olsen's Strong and Soulful, Graced by Grief, let me tell you, it will make you cry, it will lift you up, and you will find your power to heal when you read this book. Let me take a quick commercial break, and we will be back with our Medical Minutes and Dr. Dan Niche.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
And we are back. We are getting ready for our medical minutes with Dr. Dan Niecht. And I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He is a practicing physician, vice president, and chief clinical innovation officer for CVS Caremark. And he is going to discuss with us the high temperatures and the heat exhaustion that we've been going through. I know it's a little cooler right now because it's the beginning of September, but I do anticipate another heat wave. And this past June marked 13 consecutive months of high record heat and temperatures at just higher temperatures than normal. So heat waves are a major threat to our country, to our world, to our health, most importantly. So let's bring Dr. Niecht on. I know he is with us. So let's see if we can connect that line. Thanks, Tyler.
Hi, Dr. Niecht. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. You know, this is an important discussion. My husband and I are just getting ready to book some traveling, and I'm concerned about these high temperatures that we're having across the country, hotter than what we're usually used to. So I'm concerned about my health. What are some things that we need to look out for?
Absolutely. So first of all, your concern is completely warranted and appropriate. High heat is actually the biggest killer across the United States. It claims more lives than hurricanes, floods, fires each year. But it's kind of like the silent killer in that it doesn't grab the headlines like a Category 5 hurricane, but heat waves are quite lethal, right? So to your question, what are some tips that people can embrace to stay safe in the heat and the high humidity? I think it's first and foremost knowledge is power, knowing that there's a heat wave coming, right? And having a heat action plan. And that consists of understanding your own medical conditions, diabetes, cardiovascular conditions like heart failure. These conditions are at risk of being exacerbated, right, in high heat. And then also getting access to a cooling center or a cool room, that can save a life as well.
Wow. We're seeing so much more of this. So I understand that there is something called the Environmental Health Impact Initiative. What exactly does it do, and why is it important?
Certainly. So a while back, our leaders really asked us to look at and investigate the impact the environment has on human health. And so we spoke to clinical experts, thought leaders in the space, and the real gap we noticed was around early prevention as it relates to heat waves, but also poor air quality events. And so we felt like we could bring to bear our assets at CVS Health to keep those individuals at highest risk of a poor health outcome safe. And so what is it exactly? Right? So, So we're bringing to bear AI, advanced analytics, data with our empathetic, compassionate, talented clinical nurses. And what we do is we bring in continuous weather data, so heat, humidity, air quality, and we pair that with our analytics to identify members in our Aetna Medicare Advantage population who are at high risk of a poor health outcome based on clinical data, demographic information, and so on. And so what we have is we identify a group of folks where there's a heat wave coming, could be a few days out, and then we pipe that information to our registered nurses who reach out to them via telephone to support them, to really provide actionable, personalized insights, coaching, and care to keep them safe.
So during this heat wave, and we know another one is coming, what are some things that we as listeners, as just good citizens, can look for signs that we might see somebody stressing from these conditions?
Absolutely. So just taking a step back, I'll give a few sort of recommendations and insights. So what high heat does is it stresses the body. It stresses the heart, the blood vessels, the kidneys. Really, the entire body is under a lot of stress. And so in continued high heat, or if your body already has conditions like diabetes or cardiovascular disease, your body can't mount an appropriate response. And therefore, you know, some signs and symptoms you'll see of heat exhaustion are maybe muscle cramps, confusion, sweating, and then lack of sweating, right? Red flush, skin, right? Confusion. And then, you know, ultimately potentially heat stroke, which could look like a stroke. So those are sort of the signs and symptoms that are associated with heat exhaustion, heat cramps, and heat stroke. And, you know, we all need to be aware of that. But as we say in medicine, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we really want to get ahead of those signs and symptoms, because death and suffering associated with heat waves are largely preventable if you take a preventive mindset. And that's what our program's doing.
So one of the biggest things is stay hydrated. Is that correct?
Yeah. So some of the recommendations we give in our program, and it's good for everyone to know, is stay hydrated, stay out of the heat during peak hours of the day. So if you have to run errands early in morning, late at night, right? Have access to a cool room or a cooling center. We have many cooling centers at our Oak Street facilities, for example. And then also caring for pets. You know, pets also be in danger if they're exposed to high heat as well.
Wow. People often forget about their pets. So if we can't walk on the ground, neither can they.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I understand that with CVS launching the first of its kind to support patients who are most vulnerable to the health impacts of extreme weather, who is eligible to participate in this initiative?
So really excited to say this is a nationwide initiative through Aetna Medicare Advantage. We have already engaged in countless conversations across 25 states, and this is only a month old. And we're going to roll it out more broadly across the CVS Health enterprise. So we're looking to deploy this through CVS pharmacies, our MinuteClinic, because really this is This is an incredibly threatening public health initiative, public health threat, high heat.
So, Dr. Necht, you said something that makes me question. You said through nationwide Aetna Advantage. Well, a lot of our children don't have Aetna Advantage, or that do they not qualify for something like this? And a lot of seniors just have regular Medicare without an Advantage plan, so they wouldn't qualify for this program, correct?
Well, yeah. So we started with Aetna Medicare Advantage, and we started with them because this is an older population with multiple medical comorbidities and probably are the most need this most urgently. Also, we have a lot of data and insights on these folks, so it can be really personalized with our outreach and support. You know, to your point, there's opportunity to cast a wider net and support more folks, and that's why we're bringing in CVS Pharmacy and the Minute Clinic as well.
Okay, good. Because eventually, you know, not everybody takes advantage of the Aetna Advantage Plan or Advantage Plans, and I would hate to think that some of our seniors are not included. And of course, children as well, because children can also suffer from heat stroke.
Yeah, Carol, you're spot on. It's not just the elderly that are at risk. Pregnant women as well, the children too, patients with comorbidities. Really, high heat impacts all of us. And so, you know, we take a real community approach. And I really laud you for bringing this topic to the public consciousness and talking to your viewers, listenership on this really important topic.
It is super important. Are the symptoms for children different than older adults of heat stroke or heat-related issues?
I would say not necessarily. I think the big difference is that children have much less, we say in medicine, physiologic reserve. So they're just less resilient because they're smaller, they're still developing. And so, you know, they're at even higher risk of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And also, as you know, some of these children can't, you know, articulate or talk yet, right? So we need to be extra vigilant with babies and small children.
So if you were to give our listeners three tips, what three tips would you give them during this heat, the high heat wave that we're going to continue to experience?
I would just say knowledge is power. Being tuned into the weather and environmental conditions in which you live and work, I think that's important. Number two is know your body. Understand, you know, what medical conditions you have that may put you at risk. And then three, stay hydrated and use common sense. Stay out of the heat. Put in place a heat plan. Those are some key sort of basic fundamental tips and tricks that I think everyone can benefit from.
You probably said my favorite one, common sense. I feel like so few people have it. Dr. Necht, I appreciate you joining us. Where can our listeners go for more information?
Absolutely. So cvshealth.com. And I also like to raise awareness around the CDC website. They have terrific information around heat health, and it's another reference for interested people.
And a quick question before I have to let you go. Does high temperature, you know, where people are, you know, sweating and, you know, just not feeling 100%, does that lead to more congested areas, like where we'll see a rise in COVID or RSV or anything like that, or are they totally unrelated?
They're generally unrelated, but I will say high heat plus poor air quality is a really concerning combination. So everything's connected in health, and so, you know, we're thinking about bringing in air quality as well as heat wave alerts so we can really keep people safe.
Right, right. Okay. Well, this was great information, and we just want to remember to advise everybody to stay safe and stay healthy and pay attention to your body. I thank you for your time, Doctor.
Thanks, Carol. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And with that being said, I know I'm going somewhere really warm, so I'm going to be alert because I do believe we are going to have another heat wave coming up before the end of this month. My words of wisdom for today. By Jenny Young. Every situation in life is temporary. So when life is good, make sure you enjoy and receive it fully. And when life is not so good, remember that it will not last forever and better days are on the way. I want to thank you all for listening. Please listen to my show tomorrow morning, Home Improvement Fix and Facts, when we will have part of the Luke Bryan Farm Tour on, talking about feeding our nation. I know it's a home improvement show, but it's the right thing to do on, you know, given the end of the year, and we're going to be talking about cleaning out those gardens. I know my tomatoes need a good cleaning. Next week, we will have a great show. I hope that you will join us all. We are going to have entrepreneur Sean Nelson joining us talking about entrepreneurship. Let me save you 25 years is what he says. He is the creator and inventor of Lovesack. So I'm delighted that he's going to be joining us and giving us a glimpse of how you can start your own entrepreneurial journey. And with that being said, I think I am just about out of time here. I just want to thank everybody for listening. We have some great topics coming up on not just Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, but Home Improvement Fix and Facts on Tuesday from 8 to 9. Please do me a favor, pay it forward, do something nice for somebody. Please make it a good week, and make sure you listen to the debate tomorrow night. No matter what side you're on, I think it's going to be a turning point for a lot of people's opinions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.